Hello, welcome to the Millionaire Woman Show, where we'll be discussing leadership, business, and human potential, inspiring you to live rich from the inside out. Unlock your creativity, stretch out of your comfort zone, break through your barriers, take inspired action, and achieve epic results. Now, here's your host, two-time best-selling author, speaker, and certified executive coach, Deborah Kosowski.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Millionaire Woman Show. We're going to be talking about topics of leadership, business, and human potential. And today, I am so excited because I am sharing one of my team members, who I love immensely, with you. But we have some hot information, hot topics for you to listen to. Cheryl Davey is a self-proclaimed online marketing junkie and tech skills addict. Over the years, Cheryl has trained herself to take the path of least resistance. If there's a better, faster way to do something, she already knows about it. And she has developed a reputation for being efficient and resourceful. She's been able to work with some of the top 6- and 7-figure business coaches in the industry. And these people dread wasting time and money. And they pay Cheryl top dollar because they know she doesn't mess around. Cheryl is an Infusionsoft certified partner and a certified online business manager. And she is my online business manager. So I'm happy to share her with you. Cheryl, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here on this side of it instead of on the other side. So thank you.
You're very welcome. And I know often you're hidden behind the scenes, but I thought it's time to do a little bit of exposure.
Oh.
Showing people how success truly happens.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, we were talking about delegation and outsourcing. We thought it would be really great to bring it to our listeners. And part of that is we're going to start with delegation because this is where it all starts. There's something that people are kind of afraid. And Cheryl, can you talk about why there's reasons why people are afraid to actually delegate?
Yes. Hi, my name is Cheryl. I'm a control freak. That would be the main reason. You fill in the blank of what you want to do on that name. But that's probably the biggest one. Or people think that they can do it faster than having somebody else do it, because once you tell somebody else how to do it, you know, you probably could have already had it done. And but control is probably the biggest thing, is people want to, you know, this is your baby. This is your life. And you want to make sure that everything goes well. So that's probably the main one right there.
Yeah. And sometimes what I also learned is sometimes they want to delegate, but the person they're delegating to might not be maybe as seasoned or have enough experience in that area. And then what they really fear is maybe that they fear that they're going to be a micromanager.
Right. And a lot of times, because you are a business owner, right? And I think it's a mentality thing. Is they're a business owner also, but you're a business owner. And so you want to have your hands in every single thing. Probably the best example that I can come up with is like when you're building a home, like when you're building a house. And think of your business as a house. When you're building a house, you need somebody, a specialist, to come in and do the foundation, the framing, the plumbing, the electricity, you know, electrical. So all those different components. Those guys that come in that have that trade are special in their fields also, but they all come together to build your business, your house. But you are the boss, you know, in a manner of speaking. You're the one that says, I want it to look this way. I want it to be this way. But allowing people to be able to shine into their excellence and into what they really like to do. If you find somebody that just is not cutting it, I have a friend that tells me this often, is hire slow, fire fast. Just because they are a independent contractor doesn't mean that you can't let them go. If it's not working for you, then you need to find somebody that does work with you.
And a few years ago, Cheryl, we had something happen like that in our business. I had someone outsourced, and we had a major project on the go, and I tried to contact this individual, and part of delegation and outsourcing is about having that open communication.
Absolutely.
And I hadn't had any updates. I had a week of silence. Yeah. No email return, no phone calls. And I was on a hotline to Cheryl to save the day. And oh my gosh, if it wasn't for you, Cheryl, I don't know what we would have done. It was a huge telesummit with listeners from all over the world. And when you're a business owner, you can't afford to not have your team on board and at least have that communication pieces all along. So I'm still forever grateful for you stepping in. And there's many things, but what is the key to successful delegation?
Communication. You kind of touched on it a little bit there. You know, I know with you and I, Deb, Skype is our friend. We have it open all the time. You know, if I'm in front of my computer or someplace where I can use Skype, it's on. You can see that little green dot that says that I'm available. Or even, you know, texting, quick text or whatever. Hey, I've got this done, or this is working out great, or just chit-chat. And we also set up an ongoing time, or we strategize. We plan things out. We say, hey, things are going well, or whatever it is. But it's that constant communication. That's how it works.
Yeah. And we have to learn about being able to trust each other and that each other's got our back. Because I know yesterday I was doing a recording of podcasts, and all of a sudden I went into our program here and I saw that both were scheduled at the same time. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? They're both going to pop in and we're going to have a three-way interview and I won't know what to do. And I was on the hotline to Cheryl and she's like, Deb, it's all good. And that's all I needed to hear. And part of that is being able to trust the people that you work with.
Yeah.
And knowing that if you delegate something, that they got your back. Plus, it's their reputation. So tell us a little bit more about your experience, you know, getting people's back, but also having people get yours.
Well, I think that it is important to have the person's back. I always say this, that if I really, for lack of a better term, buy in or really get what my client's doing, I will go to the ends of the earth for that person. If I really understand, I become not a cheerleader, but a partner with them. I really want them to succeed because if they succeed, I succeed. And so really, if you really believe in what they're doing, then you're going to go beyond and there and further going. But so I think I kind of answered it that way, but what was your second part of your question?
It's about that trust, knowing that someone's got your back and also that they have your back too, because you are working in partnership.
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. We're going to be raw here. I post because we post these podcasts. And I didn't click a button that said podcast in a little category. And Deb said, hey, I went in there and did this for you. I clicked it there. She'd already known to do it. Now, did she have to follow up after me? No, because 9 times of 10, it goes okay. But it was nice to be able to have that back, or you cover my back, and know that it was covered. You know, or even, Deb, I think it was like last week or something had to happen really quick. And it was past business hours. You know, I told Deb, hey, it's wine 30, getting ready to have a glass of wine. Because I believe in you and I want you to succeed. You know, I put it behind, you know, put it on the side and you jump in and you get it done. Because that's what you do. That's how you build that trust. That's how you build that loyalty with each other.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think is really valuable, especially when we're talking about this, and, you know, maybe people never thought that this would come in the conversation, but also having those boundaries.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't anything life-threatening.
Yeah.
You know, when something isn't up at the exact moment.
Yeah.
And I know that you have family time, and that's really important for me to make sure that people, because I want people to respect my time, I want to respect yours. So when it also comes to delegating and outsourcing, you also have to have that little bit of boundary, knowing when it's okay to do that and when it's not okay. If it's something that people are anticipating in a business and, you know, we're having to make sure that we're on delivery time, and I notice that, hey, you know, didn't come up. I can't even go click the check mark, you know, to make it go live. And, you know, I think we've been really good about setting those boundaries, but I don't know if we've actually really discussed them. We just have a mutual respect for them. But also when it comes to that delegation, I think it's talking about that openly about what we expect of each other.
Yeah. And I think I agree with you, setting the boundaries and knowing, having that conversation to begin with. We've grown though, as we've kind of gone on this together. We've been, I don't remember how many years, we've been together, what, 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years, going on five.
Yeah, and so really it takes a while for this to grow. And in the beginning, a lot of times I'll have a conversation with the clients and say, these are my business hours from, you know, 9 to 5 on Monday through Friday. And, but you know, as a, you have to almost have to think of it this way. As you as a business owner, as you as the, you know, coming to me for work or get work done, I'm not an employee. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes there's a mentality of employee needs to be at your beck and call at all time. And that's not the case. Again, it goes back to that scenario of building a house. You have all these different contractors. You wouldn't expect an electrician to come in the middle of the night just because you want that portion of your house to be done. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice? But if they were an employee, you could actually dictate hours and they would have to agree upon those hours. Yeah. But so that's kind of a mentality for business owners as they switch into this outsourcing, to know that these are businesses. These are different, you know, they're just not employees. They're not employees at all. It's a whole different animal.
That's a really important point, because I've never thought of you as an employee, but you know, because we've always come from a place of partnership. But I think people who are learning to delegate and learning, like, you know, because we talk about businesses and organizations, so there is a little bit of the delegation to the employee.
Yeah.
But also, when you are delegating to an employee, you're coming from a place of wanting to grow that person.
That's right.
Right? So what does delegation do for someone in a business or an organization?
It frees them up to have, obviously, more time generates into more money. How does that happen? If you're paying somebody, how do you get more money? It allows you to be in your excellence where you can get your mojo going in your head and say, I could create this and this and this and this. Or actually, if you're a coach, you know, business coach or whatever service or whatever you're providing, to be able to do that one-on-one with your client instead of doing all the minutia of other things that are happening. So it really does free you up. And really, outsourcing just isn't what in the industry that some people call as a virtual assistant. It's just not the admin stuff. Outsourcing can be anything from a housekeeper. And really, you can get housekeepers for really inexpensive, once or twice a week, whatever, okay? So think about how much you charge your clients, and what can you then do to be able to, you know, how much money do you need to make? You know your hourly amount, basically. And so, and how much you're going to charge, you know, how much they're charging you. You could get some, you could delegate, you could become some income there. You can grow some income there. So really, it does allow you to make more money. Freedom, family time. You get to spend time with your family more. Whatever you want to do with it. But I always think of it as time. If you're going to be working on your business and doing, wouldn't it be great to have somebody else that's their excellence. That's what they enjoy doing, to allow you to do things that you really enjoy doing.
So what I really hear is, you know, we need to start knowing what our strengths and our weaknesses are.
That's right.
Where do we excel the most in our businesses?
That's right. And that's true. So you really have to find, why did you go into business? What was the purpose? Was it to be a business coach? Was it to be a health coach? Was it to financial services to people? Whatever it is. That's your real reason. Did you come in and create your business to make a website? To set up an e-zine, to whatever, you know. So you have to figure out what is your real reason of why you started your own business.
That's like Simon Sinek's why. When you start with why, you can move forward and focus on your gifts.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So one of the things I wanted to tap into, and I know what we're talking about, you know, trading time for money. You know, for people who are just starting out in their business and they're concerned, you know, I don't have a lot of money. And how do I know that delegating this stuff that I'm doing, because I know initially you start off by doing it all by yourself. And sometimes that's a good thing, because then you know what you're asking for, you know when things go wrong, and you know the little things. Like, sure, I can fix a box, but you ask me how to load something and it would take me a little bit of time. So obviously I have to spend my time other places. But what would you recommend to people who are wanting to start off, to start pushing off some stuff off their plate, and they're worried that, you know, I don't have a lot of money, and how do I know I'm going to get a return on my investment?
I always say start with a small project. Don't give them the whole shebang. Start it with a small project. And you really, it's not a huge, huge investment, because you can actually hire somebody for an hourly basis, or for a project, you already know what your budget would be, because they would quote a price for you on that particular project. Or you can do like as low as 5 hours, you know, get 5 hours. And you're going, I don't know if I'm going to be able to fill somebody up with 5 hours. Oh, you do. Once you get used to people, and I look at you, Deb, and go, oh,
I know.
That was kind of Deb at the beginning. There's no way.
Once you get started.
Yeah, exactly. And so you go. But there are places too for people that are economically really conscious about what to do. You can find virtual assistants on sites like guru.com. Guru.com and Elance and some of the other ones like that, freelance. They're freelancers, and they will bid on projects for you to get a particular project done. So again, and you can pick and choose. And then also there is Fiverr, F-I-V-R-R, I believe is how you spell it. And again, you can look for things maybe that you might need a logo, you might need whatever. I mean, looking at project-wise, and so you can control your budget that way. If you're looking for, say, a general virtual assistant, I would definitely go with recommendations. You know, you're probably coaching with somebody or even somebody else that's in your field. Hey, you know, ask them, have you worked with somebody? Have you got any recommendations? I get 100% of my contacts or my new clients are through referrals. Just because you're in the business for so long, and you, again, we talked about before, you know, showing that I want to be my excellence. I want to be able to do my best, and that transfers on. But ask for referrals, definitely, you know, and look and see. Go on Facebook, kind of see where other people are going. What are people offering? And you can go, you know, if you go overseas, your price is going to go down. If you pick something in the Philippines, your price is definitely going to go down. Mm-hmm. And so you could actually get a virtual assistant. I'm going to give you a very wide range here. You could get somebody from $10 an hour all the way up to $125 an hour. It just depends on where you want to be and what particular skills are you looking for. Are you looking for somebody that is certified in a particular thing? Their excellence is in something specific. Then that's what you kind of have to look for. If you're looking for somebody for general, you know, if you're looking for a general VA, somebody that, you know, certifications aren't that big of a deal, you're starting out, you think you can kind of help them along, you could probably find somebody that is $15 an hour. Mm-hmm. And there's also places in, Deb, I know you're in Canada, mm-hmm. and so there are places actually that will help you find a virtual assistant. I think it's called VA Matchmaker. Yvonne Weld, I believe I might have the name wrong on her company, but Yvonne Weld, she'll help you find a virtual assistant. She'll talk to you, go through the process. What are you looking for? And then she'll go out and look for you too. Again, then it's kind of like a referral basis. Mm-hmm. You know, giving you some ideas to people that you can choose from. And then you go, remember, hire slow, fire fast. So you take your time to find that person, that niche. The personalities have to mix. Because I know you and I, we work really close with each other. Mm-hmm. So our personalities, if they didn't mesh, it wouldn't have worked a long time ago.
Yeah. And it's about that know, like, and trust factor.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I came through, you came to me through a referral also.
Through a referral. And yeah. I have referred you as well. But I like to keep her all to myself.
I know.
But I have to share the wealth, right? So let's talk about outsourcing. What is outsourcing really?
Outsourcing is allowing somebody else or agency or person to do anything that has to do in your business, okay, or in your life. I kind of talked about if you want to outsource, if you're doing an e-zine or a podcast, the whole system of the podcast, allowing them to help run that portion of it. the back end of it to make sure that it goes well. Outsourcing could be, again, your housekeeping, errands. I outsource, believe it or not, this sounds kind of weird, maybe not the way I put it, but my child care. You know, in the mornings, I outsource. I have two small children. And so I outsource taking that so I can concentrate on working in my business, because this is my business. It's not a hobby. It's not something I do on the side. This is my business, and I take it very seriously. So I outsource babysitting. I outsource, you know, you can outsource, building a website, building a logo. I'm thinking of you, intro music to certain things.
Yeah.
If you want a video on something, you can, anything that you are doing in your business besides your key, what is your service, you can outsource.
I started making a list.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to shoot out a few of them. We can talk about some of them.
Okay.
Bookkeeping and accounting.
Yeah.
That saves up a lot of time. I know people save their shoe boxes of receipts and they pull it out right before tax time and it ends up taking them a month to put it together.
And that kind of brings up a point too, Deb, is because you might be a bookkeeper and you just think, I could do this. You know, I'm a bookkeeper. I could do my own bookkeeping. Mm-hmm. But again, you're taking time away from doing what you're doing. And sometimes a second set of eyes is really a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a bookkeeper, you could outsource that bookkeeping.
Yeah. And then it comes to, and I like how we talked about, are you running your business as a hobby or are you running a business? And it is truly about, and are you going to work in your business or on your business?
That's right.
Other ones are social media, and they're like, oh no, I got to be part of my social media. But really, you could save yourself so much time and pop in when you need to. Because if you're spending an hour or 2 hours thinking about that, you're, again, trading time for money that you could be losing on the table.
And you can still be a part of your social media. I mean, Deb, you do the lives. You do the Facebook lives. So you're still part of your social media. But if there was something that we kind of do on a recurring basis, I know that these days the memes are really popular to do. You could have your virtual assistant go in and schedule those. Have those ready and schedule them throughout the week using Hootsuite is a program that you could use for that.
Yeah.
excuse me. Your client doesn't need to do that. Your client doesn't need to go in and schedule something that's going to happen every day. You can do that. You know, let your VA do that.
Yeah. And you could be spending more time with your family.
That's right.
Or working on the next project or writing your book that you're trying to get out there. But
that's
when you're
right.
spending time doing all that, it really takes away time.
Yeah.
I even know there's more that I could be delegating off my plate. Every time I talk to Cheryl, I'm like, oh, and she's like, yeah, I can do that, Deb. I'm like, I let go of that control because I like to have some of that control because I like the creative process, but I think it's not totally my excellence.
So what you could do, because you kind of speak directly too, we were talking about, you know, why won't people delegate? You do like that control. So maybe there's a point of you get through the creative process and you get it to a point and say, okay, now I can pass it on. I've got it through a good, we go back to this, is this podcast. You liked going through the process of how do I do a podcast? What do I do? How do I set it up? But when it came down to the checklist, we did it together and we executed it and it was done.
Yeah.
But you got to go through the process. So really, you can still have that control.
Yeah.
And go on after that.
And you know what I learned about this process actually, Cheryl, now that you're saying, and this is the key, especially for people who like to have the control like I do, to watch something and be a part of that creativity, but to see the end of it.
Yeah.
And maybe we didn't see that. We have milestones.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So after when we first launched, Cheryl and I have a screenshot of us on the computer, like, you know, it was amazing. You know, it was accepted by iTunes and here we are rock and rolling. And I've just continue on sending Cheryl all these things and came to episode 50 and I was already on to 51, 52. And Cheryl's like, hey, you did it. What are you talking about? She goes, episode 50, we've passed 50. And the Millionaire Woman Show has been on a huge trajectory.
Yeah.
Because I've been able to let go. I don't know if it necessarily would have been the same if I would have been keeping hanging on to it. So Cheryl has helped me let go, but she's also reminded me, and this is a really key thing that I want to share with our listeners, is when you let go, don't forget to celebrate.
That's right.
Because I think that is really the part that people who like control miss out on. Yeah. Because when they see it get to the end and see that it's actually happened, that's the part that they want to see, because that's the creative juices that have exploded into something that's real.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So celebrating that is huge. The other one is editing. Like, you know, grammar and those things sometimes are not my forte. And, you know, if it wasn't for apps like Grammarly or having someone to go through some things or checking things, I think that could be detrimental too.
Sure.
Because it's not my strength. We talked about cleaning your house, grocery shopping. How many people can grocery shop online and actually just go pick it up or send someone to do that for them?
And that's outsourcing.
Yeah.
That's outsourcing. I think people might be doing some outsourcing. They don't even realize they're doing some outsourcing.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, handyman services, walking the dog, video editing. If you never video edited before, it's going to take you hours to figure out how to clip it, blend in the music and stuff. Let someone who that's their expertise, they can have it done in minutes. Right. I watch people do it in minutes compared to, oh, let me just figure this out. Although I like to do that, I can't do it for my business all the time because it would slow me down. It's like you're running forward and someone's grabbing your ankle saying, hey,
No,
you can't go ahead. You know, the website design you mentioned, or even website editing. So these are just a few. And you know what, Cheryl and I'm going to create a list.
Okay.
This is going to be the starter of the list for those of you listening. You can download this on Cheryl's interview here about delegating and outsourcing. These are just going to be a few things, and don't hesitate to talk to Cheryl. And at the end of the show, she's going to tell you how you can contact her and talk to her about a strategy session and find out how you can learn how to start delegating and outsourcing some of the work that you're doing that's really taking away from your genius and your time.
Yep.
So the other question, so we're talking about what kinds of things people outsource. These are just a few that I've talked about because it's going to help boost people's productivity. It's going to help save them time. Are there any others that I've missed that come to your mind?
You know, I probably have a list of like over 100 things that you can delegate. So I think, Debbie, you have a great idea. And this, like, family, this is how we do this, okay? we bounce ideas off of each other. I think what I'll do is I will add to the list.
Excellent.
That you have, and so that way they can have a full list. It won't be exhaustive, but at least it'll give them a good start to go.
And we're going to have extra numbers on there because you can add to the list. And even comment when you see this video or on iTunes, comment some of the things that you have that you're delegating
Absolutely. So
other people can learn from you.
Yeah.
So when is it a good time to start outsourcing?
Yesterday. Really, I mean, when you've decided that you're a business owner, okay, you've started your business, that's the time. Because as you start, again, I kind of told you, in a particular, like the VA field, you can go project by project or say, like, again, you might be building a website. That's a great outsource right there. Or even a logo, a business card, anything. Yes, you're going with your business. That's now. Now is the time.
Yeah. So I was skimming through a website and it said, you know, why should a photographer who could be making $1,500 on a shoot spend time designing their business card?
I don't have it'd be crazy. You're wasting money. Instead of making money, you are wasting money.
And when you're trying to do too much, what happens is not just the need of control, but you burn out. And what I find is when you're doing so much of everything for everybody versus yourself.
Right.
The other thing that I notice is that the quality isn't as good. You think it is, but how many things have you multitasked so much that you haven't given your full time and attention to?
That's right. And really, I think first thing that popped in my head when you said that was your family, your children. Because when you're speaking with your family and children, are you there in the moment? Are you really listening to them or having conversation with them or playing that game or watching them play a game? Or are you thinking about what you should be doing? Are you thinking about your to-do list? And are you in, you're living in your overwhelm that you're not really, really present with the people that you want to be present with? That's it right there. It's a quality of life thing. You outsource because you want quality of life.
I think that's going to be the theme of the podcast. Outsource for quality of life.
And that's how it goes. I'm telling you, we play it off each other.
So for those of you who are listening or watching the video, this is how Cheryl and I work all the time. We're constantly brainstorming and saying, hey, what about this? Yeah. What about that? And then she's like, she'll always give me that check-in and push me a little bit further.
Yeah.
And I think we do it both ways because I like to give her the gentle nudges once in a while as well.
This is a nudge. This was a shove. This was not a nudge. This is a over the cliff.
And that's why we work so well together, because we can see the potential in each other. And as people who are listening, when you are working with other people, know that you can make a difference in serving each other.
Yeah.
By seeing the potential in another person and helping them get to the next level together.
Yeah.
Because when you do it together, amazing things happen. It's like lighting a spark or watching a ripple in a pond. It continuously grows and ripples to other places.
Yeah.
But what other things? Oh, this is the one thing I know everybody's been waiting for. Nobody's asked yet.
Okay.
What are mistakes that you see people making when they outsource?
Couple things that come in my mind. One is they jump too quickly. They get into a commitment way too long, saying that that's why I say start with a project. Start with something small that you can see or test. Remember that you're working with somebody. It's almost like a dating type of thing. Have kind of like a little honeymoon period, you know, and the honeymoon period is going to go over and then you're really going to be able to see. But don't get into a long-term commitment with somebody until you're really ready and sure. And do your homework. You know, if you're going to hire somebody, do your homework. If they give you referrals, call those people and say, oh, it'll be okay. And listen to your gut. You know, listen to your gut. You got to find somebody that you connect with. And that's what it is. You have to have that, I don't even know the words I'm looking for, but you have to really trust. We talked about it, trust with those people. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just, that's one of the mistakes. And then the non-communication is huge too. Because if they give them a project, well, they're the experts, and you wash your hands of it, you're still at the helm of the ship. You still have to drive the ship. You know, it's not a hands-off thing. I wait for you. You know, you go to your business coach or you talk to people. You come back with some ideas and then we work it out. Or we do go through, we brainstorm ideas together. Mm-hmm. But you're still in control of the ship. Yeah. And you can't let go of the ship, somebody else drive it, and get disconnected from the business, because then it's not your business anymore.
Yeah.
Because people come to work for you or with you. Your clients come to you because of you, not because of your team. Not because people don't come to work with Deb because of Cheryl. They come to work with Deb because of Deb.
Mm-hmm. And I like how you talked about the washing of the hands, because often I see people like, here you go. And then what they do is they back away and then they get frustrated because, well, that's not what I wanted and this and that. And it's they miss my deadline.
Yeah.
But what they forgot to do is to say, these are my expectations. Yeah. This is the result I see. This is my vision. And also, and this is what I'm going to throw in there, because we have it on my website at DeborahKozowski.com, is check out the person's vision, mission, and values.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And when you're hiring someone to be your contractor, your virtual assistant, and like Cheryl, my online business manager, you want to ensure that people have the same values.
Yeah.
And believe in what your mission is in order to support you.
Yeah. Yeah. I would, like I said earlier, I would do any, if I get what you're doing, if I capture your vision, I am so in. and I would do anything. If I don't, I wouldn't be you wouldn't be my client.
Yeah.
Because I just can't work with somebody if I don't believe. There's certain, like you said, your beliefs have to be around the same thing. Your core values have to be the same.
And it's also
for that. I have fired people because I just didn't, I didn't get what they were doing and I didn't believe in it.
Yeah. And I like you that you brought that up, because you can't have people working for you who don't believe in the vision. But if there's a struggle or that conflict, you need to fire fast.
Yeah. And really, and remember, VAs can fire you. Remember, this is a business. I talked about it a little bit. I have fired clients. I can do that. It's my business. You know, so you have to be a good client also. And to be a good client, we talked about it, the loyalty, the communication, you know, having a clear vision of where you want to go. I can tell you this, one of my biggest pet peeves of my client is the going after that shiny object thing. They start one thing. Okay, I want to go over here. Okay, I want to go over here. Yep, now I'm going to turn corners. And I'm going to keep on going zigzag, zigzag. How do you expect your team to be able to follow you if you don't know which direction you're going? There's no way. And you go, well, they keep on making mistakes. You keep on changing your mind. You know, find a course. Stay with it. Yeah, things are going to change. Maybe if you follow the course and it just hasn't worked, then you're going to change. But don't have a clear vision. Clear vision. Give your team a chance to fully execute that vision.
And this goes back to trust. Trusting that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think also reminding yourself is be really clear on what skills you want that person to have.
Yeah.
And that way, they can say whether or not they have them.
Yeah, exactly. And hold them to it. If somebody says, I know that in the VA field, and this is kind of a bad thing in our field, is people say they want to do something or they can do something when they probably don't have the full expertise to do it. And I speak to if I'm speaking to VAs, shame on you. If you say you're going to do something, do it and know how to do it. If you don't know how to do it, say, you know what, I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to learn how, and learn how on your own time. You know, bring that skill to it, because it's going to be better for you to have that skill in your little quiver there.
Yeah. And that's a good point. Don't pretend you have skills that you don't, because it is going to taint your reputation.
Yeah.
You want to be able to be upfront. And if anything, refer them to somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, who has the skill. Build those relationships with other people and make them part of your team.
That's right. And I always tell people, I am not a graphics artist. You know, somebody will say, can you draw? Can you make this up? I am not a graphics artist. I know people that do. You know, as a VA, you have a list of 100. My list of 100 are referrals of people that do what I don't know how to do, or they do it better than I know how to do it. And, you know, you always have that list of 100 where you can refer your clients to.
So where is your greatest skill set, Cheryl? Let everybody know what you're, because I know that you figure things out fast. And when we started the Millionaire Woman Show, we were rocking the podcast world in no time flat.
I think that I do like the techie part of things. I'm kind of like a bulldog. And that once I chomp onto something, if I don't know it, I'll shake onto it until they figure it out. But I don't charge my clients to be able to do that. Because, again, I'm learning myself to be able to do it. But I think that it's just keep on going, the tenacity, until I can get it solved and quickly for it. And enjoy what you do.